Welcome to Zichud Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Maseches Psachim, Daf Mem Vav. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rabbi Avo said in the name of Rabbi Shimon and Lakish, L'gaba l'tefila u'netilas yadayim arba milim. For a hired neder and for tefila and for netilas yadayim, there's an obligation to travel up to 4 mil. Rashi explains that the case of the hired neder is one who's hired to knead the customer's dough in the customer's kelim, which are tamei. The question is, how far must the hired neder travel to immerse the kelim so that the dough will be kneaded in a state of tahara? Tefillah is referring to someone traveling who wants to retire for the night. How far must he travel in order to daven and shul the minyan? And netilas yadayim is also referring to someone traveling. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said it was Eva who said this, not Rabbi Abo, and he also included a fourth case, saying that animal skins which are considered edible and makabel tumah must be tanned for the amount of time it takes to walk for a meal in order for the skins to be no longer considered food. Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina said the Mishnah said 4 mil only in regards to traveling the distance ahead of the person, but in regards to traveling behind him, he does not even have to travel the distance of a meal. Rav Acha says that this implies that one must travel less than a meal. Point number two, the next Mishnah asks, Ketzad Refishin Chal Betum V'Yontav? How does one separate challah from tamei dough that is baked on the yantav of Pesach? Rashi explains that this tamei dough cannot be baked for a Kohen, since he's not permitted to eat tamei challah. It also cannot be set aside and burned after yantav, since it might become chametz in the interim. And to destroy the challah by burning it or feeding it to an animal is also forbidden because ein sorfin kachmi yantav. It's forbidden to burn sacred food on yantav. Rabbi Yezir says, Lotik roshem ad shetaveh. The woman baking it should not designate a portion of challah until after it's baked. Ben Becerra says, tatu butzonin. She should put the challah in cold water since this prevents the challah from becoming chametz. Rabbi Yeshua says, this is not the category of chametz that one transgresses bal yiro bal yamatzah, since he's not considered the owner of this chametz. Once the challah is separated, it's considered the collective property of the Kohanim. Rather, he should separate it and set it aside until the evening. Vim ha-chemitza, ha-chemitza, and if 11's, 11's. And point number three, the Gemara seeks to define the point of disagreement between Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah, who says that one's not responsible for challah that has leaven, and Rabbi Yezu, who says that one must bake the dough from which the challah will be taken, so they'll not become chametz. The Gemara first suggests they're arguing of tovus hanam mamon. If the benefit that the owner retains by being able to select which kohen to give the challah to, and even the right to accept money from a friend or a relative of the kohen, is considered equity in the challah. Rabbi Yezu will hold that it is, Rabbi Yeshua would say that it's not. The Gemara says that perhaps everybody agrees that tovus hanam in a mamon, and that the Malchokas is regarding the prince of Hoyol, since Rabbi Yezu holds that since he can go to a chacham to annul his designation of challah, it's considered his property even now. And Rabbi Yeshua doesn't say Hoyol, and therefore it's not considered his property, and therefore he can keep it in his possession. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Rabbi Abo said in the name of Rabbi Shimon and Lakish, L'gaba l'tefila u'netilas yadayim arba milim. For a hired neder and for tefila and for netilas yadayim, there's an obligation to travel up to 4 mil. Rashi explains that the case of the hired neder is one who is hired to knead the customer's dough in the customer's kelim, which are tamei. The question is, how far must the hired neder travel to immerse the kelim so that the dough will be kneaded in a state of tahara? Tefila is referring to someone traveling and wants to retire for the night. How far must he travel in order to daven in a shul, the minyan? And netilas yadayim is also referring to someone traveling. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said it was Eva who said this, not Rabbi Abo, and also that he included a fourth case, saying that animal skins which are considered edible and makabel tumah must be tanned for the amount of time it takes to walk for a meal in order for the skins to be no longer considered food. Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina said that the Mishnah said for a meal only in regards to traveling the distance ahead of the person, but in regards to traveling behind him, he doesn't even have to travel the distance of a meal. And Rav Acha says that this implies that one must travel less than a meal. Point number two. The next Mishnah asks, Ketzam Rafishn Chal Betum B'Yantav. How does one separate challah from tamei dough that is baked on the yantav of Pesach? Rashi explains that this tamei dough cannot be baked for a Kohen, since he's not permitted to eat tamei challah. It also cannot be set aside and burned after yantav, since it might become chametz in the interim. And to destroy the challah by burning it or feeding it to an animal is also forbidden because ein sorfin kachmi yantav. It's forbidden to burn sacred food on yantav. Rabbi Yezir says, Lotik roshem ad shetaveh. The woman baking it should not designate a portion as challah until after it's baked. Ben Becerra says, Tatu butzonin. She should put the challah in cold water since this prevents the challah from becoming chametz. Yeshua says that this is not the category of chametz that one transgresses bal yiro bal yamatzah, since he's not considered the owner of this chametz. Once the challah is separated, it's considered the collective property of the Kohanim. Rather, he should separate it and set it aside until the evening. Vim ha-chemitza, ha-chemitza, and of 11's, 11's. Point number three, the Gemara seeks to define the point of disagreement between Rabbi Yeshua and the Mishnah, who says that one is not responsible for a challah that has leavened, And Rabbi Yezu says that one must bake the dough from which the challah will be taken so that it will not become chametz. The Gemara first suggests they're arguing if tovas hana mamun, if the benefit that the owner retains by being able to select which kohen to give the challah to, and even the right to accept money from a friend or relative of the kohen, is considered equity in the challah. Rabbi Yezu would hold that it is, and Rabbi Yeshua would say that it is not. The Gemara says that perhaps everybody agrees that tovas hana in a mamun, and that this machlokas is regarding the principle of hoyol, since Rabbi Yezu holds that since he can go to a chacham to annul his designation of challah, it's considered his property even now. And Rabbi Yeshua does not say ho, and therefore is not considered his property, and therefore he can keep it in his possession. All right, so now we go to our simon for daf mem vav, and our standard simon is a cow going moo. So here goes. The dough kneader and minion seeker who rented cows for a four-meal journey met someone along the way who couldn't figure out how to separate challah from tamei dough on Pesach, and didn't know the chacham mihadin could annul his designation of challah. Once again in slow motion. The dough kneader and minion seeker who rented cows, that must mean we're on daf mem vav. The dough kneader and minion seeker rented cows for a four-meal journey, which reminds us that 4 meals is the amount of distance that a dough kneader must go to Tovos customers Tamei Kalim, a traveler needs to travel to find a minion and to do Netilas Yadayim, and the amount of time for edible skins to be tanned to lose their status of food and adopting Mekabel Tumah. Now this is only 4 meal in front. Traveling in the direction with which one came only requires traveling less than a meal. So the dough kneader and minion seeker who rented cows for a 4 meal journey met someone along the way who couldn't figure out how to separate challah from tamei dough on Pesach, which reminds us that there's a three-way machlokas on how to separate challah from tamei dough on Pesach. Bake, then separate, or put in cold water, or just set aside since it's no longer the owner's dough, but the collective property of the Kohanim. So the dough kneader and minion seeker who rented cows for a 4 meal journey met someone along the way who couldn't figure out how to separate challah from tamei dough on Pesach, and didn't know the chacham behind him could annul his designation of challah. Which reminds us that initially the Gemara says that the point of difference between Rabbi Yezer and Rabbi Yeshua in the mission regarding how to separate challah from tamei dough on Pesach is whether they hold tovas hana mamon. But then the Gemara says that perhaps everybody holds tovas hana in a mamon, and the machlokas is if they hold of hoyol. Rabbi Yezer holds that since he can go to a chacham to annul his designation of challah, it's considered his property even now. And Rabbi Yeshua does not say hoyol, and therefore is not considered his property, and therefore he can keep it in his possession. So once again, the dough kneader and minion seeker who rented cows for a 4 meal journey met someone along the way who couldn't figure out how to separate challah from tamei dough on Pesach, and didn't know the chacham behind him could annul his designation of challah. All right, so now it's time to go to our four blot back chazara. Daf mem beis. So the simon daf mem beis is a mobster. So here goes. The mobster, that must be one daf Membeis. The mobster was selling maim shalanu at an inflated price, which reminds us that Rav Yudah said a woman should knead the dough for matzah only with maim shalanu, with water that slept overnight, which means water that was collected the previous day and stayed overnight in the vessel. And this is based on the Gemara in Dab Tzadi Dalet Amud Beis, that the sun's position during the winter caused the underground water source to heat up. Rashi explains that since the warmth hastens the fermentation, one should draw the water the night before baking to give it a chance to cool. Women were also told they should not knead the dough in the sun, nor with water heated by the sun, nor with water drained from the bottom of the mulyar. So the mobster was selling maim shalanu at an inflated price, didn't realize he was bent over and weak from all the raw vegetables he was eating. Which reminds us that three foods increase the solid waist of a person and bend the pasha, meaning they sap one's strength, and remove 1/500th of a person's eyesight, coarse bread, fresh beer, and raw vegetables, which Rashi explains refers to raw leeks, onions, and radishes when eaten frequently in large quantities. Three things diminish the solid waist of a person, make the pasha erect, and illuminate the eyes: refined bread, fatty meat, and old wine. So the mobster was selling maim shalanu at an inflated price, didn't realize he was bent over and weak from all the raw vegetables he was eating, dipped in adomi vinegar. Which reminds us that originally when the Beis HaMikdash stood and they would bring the sakhim from the wine of Yehuda, the wines would not sour until they would put barley into them. Rashi explains that in the schus of the nesachim, they wouldn't sour until a fermenting agent like barley was added. They were then called chometzdam, ordinary vinegar, because this is how vinegar was produced in Yehuda. Now that the Beis HaMikdash is in ruins and libations are no longer brought, this now is the state of wine and vinegar in Edom. And two different psukim are brought as sources for the phenomena that Yisrael and Edom will never be blessed simultaneously. Daf Mem Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Mem Gimel is a magazine. So here it goes. The Woman's Chametz Magazine. Magazine? That must mean we're on Daf Mem Gimel. The Woman's Chametz Magazine, featuring recipes of chametz mixtures and advertisements for chametz nuksha cosmetics, which reminds us that based on the question of who the Tana is in the mission that held Dagan Gamro Ayide Taruv, is that full-fledged grain in a mixture, the nuksha be'enei, and chametz nuksha that's distinct, Belav are both prohibited by love. We learned that Rabbi Yehuda said it was Rabbi Meir holds that a mixture with chametz is more severe than a chametz nuksha. And the Rav Nachman, who said it was Rabbi Eliezer, holds that chametz nuksha is more severe than a mixture with chametz. So the Woman's Chametz magazine, featuring recipes of chametz mixtures and advertisements for chametz nuksha cosmetics, include an article why chametz can't be eaten by women, which reminds us that the reason Rabbi Eliezer learned that women are included in the chametz prohibition and penalty from the word kol in the pasuk, ki kol ochos machmetzus v'nikrusa, for anyone who eats something that has been leavened, then the soul should be cut off, and not from the pasuk, ish o isha ki yasmi kol chatzos ha'adam, when a man or woman shall commit any of the sins of man, where the Torah has equated a man to a woman for all the punishments and relevant prohibitions in the Torah, is that since the Torah juxtaposes the prohibition to eat chametz with the mitzvah to eat matzah, that only those who are required to eat matzah are prohibited from eating chametz. And since women are punished from eating matzah, since it's a mitzvah zaseh, as mangrama, a time-bound positive mitzvah, they would not be subject to the prohibition of chametz. That is why the word kol is needed. The Gemara brings a braisa where Rebbe Elazar then teaches that now that women are included in the prohibition of chametz, they have been included in the mitzvah of matzah. So the Woman's Chametz magazine, featuring recipes of chametz mixtures and advertisements for chametz nuksha cosmetics, include an article on why chametz can't be eaten by women, nor brought on the Mizbeach, which reminds us that when the Torah states, Se'or lo sektir mimenu ishe l'Hashem, do not burn leaven as a firing offering to Hashem, we would only know it's forbidden if all of it is leaven. From where do we know that it's prohibited if the leaven is in a mixture and is indistinguishable, that it's forbidden? The Torah states, ki kol. Daf mem dalet. So the simmer daf mem dalet is mud. So here goes. The Nazir who dropped his grape-soaked piece of bread in the mud, that must be one daf mem dalet. The Nazir who dropped his grape-soaked piece of bread in the mud, which reminds us, Rabbi Abba said in the Rabbi Yochanan, ko isurin shem b'Torah ein heter mitzvah v'lo iser, in the case of all forbidden substances. Mentioned the Torah, a permitted substance does not combine with a forbidden substance to make up the minimum shear to be chayav for, except for isurin nazir, because the Torah says the word mishras. And Rashi explained that this word teaches that a nazir is prohibited for eating bread that has been soaked in wine. Now, since it's obvious that if the bread contained a full kazais of wine, the bread would be forbidden, then it must be the Torah is referring to a case where the bread contains less than a kazais of wine. And the kazais shear to be chayav was only attained by combining the forbidden wine and permitted bread. So the nazir who dropped his grape-soaked piece of bread in the mud, which gave it a muddy taste, which reminds us, the Gemara questions using the word mishras to teach heter mitzvah for Israel for a nazir, based on a braisa that teaches mishras liten tam ke'ikr. The word mishras comes to make flavor equivalent to substance, that if a nazir soaked grapes in water, and the water subsequently has the flavor of wine, the nazir is chayav for drinking this water. And from here we can extrapolate to all prohibitions of the Torah. And the Gemara answers that the braisa reflects the view of the Rabbanan. But Rabbi Yochanan goes according to Rabbi Akiva, who disagreed with the Rabbanan and uses Mishras to teach Heter Mitzvah for Iser for the Nazir. So the Nazir dropped his grape-soaked piece of bread in the mud, which gave it a muddy taste, tossed it into Nachri's pot, which completely changed the flavor. Which reminds us, the Gemara initially suggested that Rabbi Akiva's source for Tam Kikr was from Basar Bechal, meat and milk, though the Torah prohibits the mere flavor of milk that is absorbed in the meat, but then rejects this because Basar Bechal has an anomaly, and that if one soaks meat and milk even for an entire day, it's permitted, but if one cooks it in the milk, it's prohibited. So you can't apply it to other Yisurim. Instead, the Gemara says Rabbi Kiva learns Tam Ki Iker from Gulei Nachrim, purging the Kiyom of Nachrim, in that the emissions impart mere flavor and are forbidden. So too with regard to other forbidden foods, flavor is forbidden, just like the substance. Daf Mem Hei. So the Simmer Daf Mem Hei is Monopoly. Monopoly. So here goes. The Daf Yomi Monopoly game. Monopoly? That must mean we're on Daf Mem Hei. Monopoly. The Daf Yomi Monopoly game required the player with a nazir piece to avoid landing on the grape skins and seed places, which reminds us, Rav Kana told Rav Ashi that we learn from the pasuk in the parsha of nazir that prohibits eating anything made of the grapevine from the seeds or the skins, that isr v'isr b'zer chazer, that forbidden food combines with the forbidden food even when they're consumed one after the other, whereas v'isr v'heter b'basachas, the forbidden and permitted foods combine only when they're eaten simultaneously. So the Daf Yomi Monopoly game required the player with a nazir piece to avoid landing on the grape skins and seed places, while the player with the bagel piece raced to get enough dough to fill in the crack on the kneading bowl, which reminds us that the next Mishnah states, Batzek shebesid keo reva, leavened dough that's lodged in the cracks of a kneading bowl. If there's a kazayas of dough in one place, chayav levar, one must dispose of it. And if there's not, batel mi'iluto, it's null due to its smallness. And the Gemara brings two versions of what Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishmur regarding where the crack in the bowl was, whether it was in the upper part, where it's not made to hold water, or at the base where it is, and the implications in the halacha for each version. So the Daf Yomi Monopoly game required the player with a nazir piece to avoid landing on the grape skins and seed places, while the player with the bagel piece raced to get enough dough to fill in the crack on the kneading bowl before it became moldy. Which reminds us that pascha ibsha, a loaf that has become moldy and has become inedible to a person, but a dog is still able to eat it as it hasn't spoiled completely, is subject to tuma as food the size of a kabeitza, v'nisref isma tmeya bepesach, and if it's truma, it may be burned, even though that it is tahor, together with food which is tamei on Erev Pesach. Rashi explains that as long as a dog can eat it, it doesn't lose its status of food, and even Rabbi Yossi on Daf Yadod, who holds that one cannot burn tahor truma with tamei truma, would agree here that since it's not fit for humans, one can burn it with the tamei. In the name of Rabbi Nassan, however, they said, it's not subject to tuma as food. He holds that food not fit for human consumption does not become tamei. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos, Shabbos, and Erevin. Number 1, which daf do we have a 3-way machlokas on how to separate challah from tamei dough on Pesach? That's on daf Membav. Good. Number 2, which daf do we learn that the Rabban learned tamke ikker from Mishras? That's on daf Memdal. Good. Number 3, which daf do we learn that pascha ibsha, a moldy loaf that is inedible to a human and that is truma, that is tahor, can be burned with tamei truma even according to Rabbi Yossi? That's on daf Memhe. Good. Number 4. Which of the one that in the schus of Nesachim during the times of the base of Migdash, wine would only sour if they put barley in it, which then became its ordinary vinegar? That's on daf Membeis. Good. Number 5. Which of the one that one has to travel 4 meal to find a minion for Natil Zadayim, and if one's a dough eater, to tovel his customer's kalim? That's on daf Membav. Good. Number 6. Which of the one that with Basik should besitke a reva, that if there's a kazayis of dough in one place, one is chayiv to dispose of it? That's on daf Memhe. Good. Number 7. Which of the one that Rabbi Kiva learned tam ki ikar from Gugling Nachrim? That's on daf Memdal. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do we learn from the prohibition of Manazir not to eat grapes, grape skins, or seeds? That isr ve isr bezer achazer. That's on daf Memhe. Good. Number 9. Which of the one the Gemara says the Malkos between Rabbi Yehazar and Rabbi Yeshua regarding separating Chal from Tamei Dough on Pesach is whether one holds a Ho'il? That's on Daf Membav. Good. And number 10, which stuff do we have a Malkos is about which is more Chamra, a Tarovus of Chametz or Chametz Nuksha? That's on Daf Mem Gimel. Excellent. Now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1, which stuff do we have a question whether it's a Chazaka, a Shliach, Osa, Shlichuso or not? That's on Daf Lame Base in Erevin. Good. Number 2. Which of the one that ain't sort from Kajim Biyantav? That's on Daf Chavdalad and Shabbos. Good. And number 3. Which of the have a question regarding what one does if they're traveling early in the morning in terms of Kriyashma and Shemana Esrei? That's on Daf Lame and Brachas. Excellent. So that concludes this pop quiz. I'm Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.